Now let's just go to Romans 12. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 8. Romans 12 from verse 3 to 8. Okay, it's a very simple message. The title is Keeping It Real. Amen. Keeping it real. Amen. Romans 12, 5 to 8. I've got my act together. Right, it's verse 3, sorry. Verse 3. All right. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them, etc., etc. Okay, I won't go further. But the important thing is, let no man think more highly of himself, all right, than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has given to everybody a measure of faith. The next scripture is Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 2, going forward. For I determined not to know anything among you except Yeshua the Anointed and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. All right, and the final scripture I want to read before we get going is 2 Corinthians 4. 5 to 7. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5 to 7. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Yeshua the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Yeshua's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Yeshua. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, and not of us. Do you see that? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We pray that this word will prove a great blessing to every one of us and those who hear it. We pray that it will produce what you want it to, the reason that you sent it. We pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you'll teach through me as I yield to you, the one who enables us to do all things for the glory of our Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Right now, let me just say this. What God laid on my heart is very simply this. In Christianity, there is a big danger of complicating things, making things a lot more complicated than they really are. And in doing so, we make things unreal, in a sense. And there's three areas, I'm sure there are more. It's a principle that should run through our whole Christian life, but three areas that I believe we just need to focus on for a bit here. Making it real. The first area is our approach to the Word of God, right? That Bible is a very explosive piece of equipment. Amen? And it is a very vast resource, source, if I can put it that way. It's not really a book. It's a library. In fact, Bible means library. It's a collection of books. And I'm sure all of us have experienced this. Sometimes it feels overwhelming. Amen? But you see, the key is not to get overwhelmed, but to keep it real. In a sense, keep it simple. What do I mean by that? Well, you see, there's a lot of potential for a lot of doctrine in the Bible. Do you know something? You can make it mean what you want to, in a sense. I've heard some weird and wonderful doctrines, let me tell you. And the people claim that it comes from the Bible. Have you ever heard something like that? Now you see, what I need to say is this. When it starts to get too complicated, that's the time to worry. Amen? Remember something. The Bible isn't, if I can put it this way, a textbook in the human sense of the term. It's much more than that. You see, if you just approach the Bible intellectually, without the Spirit of God, you can end up coming to a whole lot of conclusions that are not godly. Amen? There's some weird and wonderful doctrines out there. Trust me. Trust me. Now, you see, we are not adjured by God to ignore everything that comes our way. Please. You and I can't say, well, I know enough now. Let me just stop learning anything new. Have we ever said that in this church? No, we never will. Why? Because God's revelation is ongoing. Do you understand that? The reason people missed Christ when he came the first time is because they were stuck in the doctrines of the past. They couldn't see beyond them. And he came, in a sense, with a curveball for those who are stuck in their ways. Now, does that mean we change our doctrine every day? Definitely not. I was listening to some of my teachings from way back. Still the same, in a sense. We haven't changed our basic approach. Added to it, yes, fleshed it out with a lot more stuff. God's revealed a whole lot more. But the essence of the gospel that we preach has not changed and will not change. Okay, because it doesn't have to. However, there's new things that we know, that we need to know. I've never claimed that we knew everything. Not at all. We're always learning. If I think what I know now from what I knew maybe 4 years ago, it's in a sense amazing that God had so much to teach. And I'm sure that he's got so much more to teach. So we're not saying that we mustn't be open to new teaching. Can you all say amen? Amen. But listen, there is a danger because there's a lot of fancy stuff out there. A lot of it seems quite alluring, actually. It's sensational, you see. Beware of doctrine that is sensational. Now, let me explain something. The real doctrine is way beyond sensational. Trust me, it's way beyond. But you see, in our world, there's a lot of pressure to get attention. A lot of ministries depend on getting attention. You see, and how do you get attention? By putting stuff out there that's more sensational, you see. Now, the danger for you and I as Christians, if we don't have any paradigm to study stuff from, we can get wrapped up in this. And often it happens. I've seen it happen to many young Christians. They're going merry along. It almost happened to me. The first church that I was part of had an elderly couple there. They had some strange ideas. I know the pastor of the church was really battling with them because they were almost fighting against him. We've had that here as well. But you see, that couple, I was a young man, they invited me over to their home and had lovely lunches with them. And then he started to, you know what, introduce me to some other things that he was involved with. And my pastor prayed for me, I know that, and I'm grateful to him. I was young in the Lord. I didn't understand these things. But I too started to get wind that, listen, this is way out. It's not really necessary. Now that's my point, you see. In discerning what to study and what not, ask ourselves the question, is this going to be positive for me? Let's keep it real. Are you hearing me? That's what I'm talking about, keeping it real. This new doctrine or this new thing that I'm learning, what does it do for my faith? That's the question to ask. And more importantly to ask is the question, how is this going to benefit my relationship with the Lord? Amen? That's what doctrine is about. Helping you and I to live a godly life, an overcoming life, and improve our relationship with the Lord. So you see, when fancy doctrine comes your way, and please, I'm not saying we must close our minds to anything that comes our way. A lot of doctrines are very interesting, and I'm no doubt they're based on the Word, and there might be an element of truth in them. But my big question is, how is this going to help me build my faith in God? Amen? How is this going to help me with my relationship with the Lord? And what so very often happens is people get involved with these doctrines, and they might be right, etc., but they get so involved, what happens? They lose focus. Amen? They lose focus. I've come across a person that was so involved with demonology. Do you know what demonology is? The study of demons. Hallelujah. Are demons real? Yes, they are. Do we deal with them? When we have to. Amen? But must I spend my whole life studying all the different hierarchies and the different approaches people have? It's unnecessary. And that man I know got so involved with that, he got sidetracked, and I think he picked up a few demons along the way. What am I saying? Must we say, oh, we don't talk about demons? No, we talk about them. Amen? And we deal with them when necessary, and we teach about them if necessary. We're not scared about these things. What I'm talking about is getting too involved. Are you hearing me, church? Getting sidetracked. That's the nature of the devil. He gets you and I sidetracked. Why? We're not keeping it real. Can you get it? We're not keeping it real. Real is what? How does this help me help other people? How does this help my day-to-day walk with God? How does this build my faith? How does this help me know Him better? The question we need to be asking ourselves at all times is simply this. Does this doctrine, this teaching, does it bring life? Christ came to give us life. Anything that connects us with Him will bring life. And that should be the focus of all teaching. Amen. That's what matters, you see. And even in that area, there's a danger of getting so involved in one area that we get sidetracked yet again. Standard procedure of the devil. Amen. For example, the teaching on faith. We teach faith here as powerfully as we possibly can because I know it is the heartbeat of the church. If we do not develop our faith, to all intents and purposes, we may as well live as the world. Amen? Try and teach faith. Brothers and sisters, it's the toughest thing to preach. Let me tell you why. Because it demands results. Big demand. However, can I just say something? Do we only teach faith in this church? No. You can get so involved in one thing, as important as it is, the danger is that we lose focus. We lose focus. You see? And that's not making it real, keeping it real. Because faith teaching, let me tell you, can get a bit unhinged if it is not balanced. Are you hearing me? So involved with developing our faith, you know, it gets thrown out of the window so often, our relationship with Him. Amen? And then that faith becomes mechanical and it doesn't work. Let me tell you. No matter how biblically correct it is, no matter how you and I apply it in strict conformance with the Word, it won't work. Why? Because it does not have the most important element, which is relationship with Him. Let me tell you, your and my faith is designed to help us relate to Him. Why? Because when we see God operating on our behalf, it draws us closer to Him. Does it not? Does it not? The other side of the coin is if we don't see God operating on our behalf, and that's the trick of the devil, is it not? Comes to people and say, you're God, look what He did to you, look blah, 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 blah. God didn't do it. The devil did it. But we Christians allowed him to. Why? Ignorance of the word of God and lack of faith. You see, what does that do to you and my relationship with God? Can you all understand the point here? Let's keep it real. Get our faith working for us, yes, in a practical way. Not highfalutin talking about this. Talk, talk, talk. I'm tired of talk. Let's act. Amen? Learn, operate, act. But at the same time, don't forget our relationship with Him. And that's the next area that needs to be real. Amen? Keep your and my relationship with the King of Kings real. Amen? There's a lot of stuff that we as Christians can do. Spiritual warfare. Tell me about it. Lifting up in praise and worship. And we need to do it. Prayer and intercession. Yes, it's important. Developing our faith, as we said. Yes, it's important. All these things are important. They're very important. But at the end of the day, what is Christianity? Relationship. Amen? Relationship. Let me tell you the most precious times I've had. I've had some wonderful times in intercession, praise and worship, and all these wonderful things. Please, don't get me wrong. But you know what? Some of the most wonderful times were sit early in the morning on those stairs there and look out over the garden. And I just say, Lord, it's just you and me. Amen. Just sit there and just enjoy fresh air and His presence. Mm-hmm. Amen. Times like that, you hear Him whisper things like, Graham, I love you. Now, I know He loves me. I mean, amen. He has to have loved me to put up with me up till now. Praise God. But you know, it's one thing to know that. It's another thing just to hear Him just say it. And let me just say something. When you hear God Himself say to you, I love you, you can face the world, amen. Can you not? What's too much of a challenge with God Almighty on your side? I hear Him. That's Christianity. That's keeping it real. And when I just sit there and I talk to Him, I don't go into some highfalutin Hebrew tongue, or you know what I'm talking about. I don't get all, how shall I say, super spiritual. It's just me and him. And that's Christianity for you. It's you and him. And with the rest of the body thrown in as a bonus. Amen? But keep it real. Your prayer time, keep it real. Don't pray a prayer that you think the whole world will just think you are very erudite when they hear it. Speak the language of your heart. Tell him how you feel. Let him breathe into us life. That's keeping it real. Amen? Keep it real. All right, well, let's just move on from there. The last one that I want to speak about in keeping it real. I've noticed something. There's tremendous pressure in our society. I don't think it's different from any society. We are under pressure to present ourselves in an acceptable manner. We are so conscious of what everybody else we think thinks. I attribute to a large extent to our technology. We had this wonderful place of the week. We went out to have a nice swim. There's this warm bath. Oh, my soul. I felt like rigging up a trailer and bringing it home with me. If you ever wanted to see two human hippos, that was us in this lounging around in this pool. But not only that, there was another pool with slides. Can you believe it? I didn't go on them, trust me. But I mean, that's exciting, isn't it? Slides and beautiful scenery, the mountains, the beautiful sun. Wonderful place. Now we're busy there sitting, enjoying ourselves, and this lady comes along. Can I call her a dusky lady? A lady of color? You get the gist. She pitches up there. Now we're busy enjoying the water and the swimming and the nice couches just to lie on and sleep. She spent the whole time with the iPad taking selfies. You get it? I hate to think why she was taking them. I don't know what her profession was. But anyway, there she was the whole time. Not just once, not just, you know, the whole time. I don't know how many pictures she must have taken, Abby. I mean, when we left, she was still busy preening herself. And now, what am I saying? She spent that whole time, I assume she's going to choose a few images to go on Facebook, you see, to tell the world, you know, this is me. This is what I look like. This is where I am. And she's not much different from any other people. You know, we all realize Facebook is an alternative universe. Is it not? What you see on Facebook is not what you get. But why the pressure? Why the pressure? People so concerned about what some vague audience out there might think. Why is this? Why is it? There's such pressure. Now you see, let me say this. You might say, oh, that lady's got a problem. We've all got the same problem. Did you know that? Might manifest in different ways. What am I trying to say? You see, you and I, in an attempt to gain attention, have got to do something. We have to promote something that we are not. Amen? We have to promote something that we are not, if we have not security in our heart. I'm talking about your and my opinion of ourselves and the great importance for you and I to keep it real. Are you hearing me? If we can grasp this, you know what? It will liberate us from any pressure to perform. Have you met people that when you meet them, they seem to be under pressure to perform? All they talk about is themselves and what they've achieved and how good they are and how clever they are and everything they know. What is that a symptom of? Not able to get affirmation from God. Amen. Now, let me just say something. This thing is like a cancer. And you see, it's like when you go on a long hike. If you're going on a long hike, anybody who's in flat country will tell you, you have to keep your compass bearing ever before you. Because if you go off your compass bearing by 1 degree, at first, it doesn't look like anything is different. But let me tell you, after a while, you find yourself walking in territory, say, this is very familiar. Why? You've gone round without realizing it in a big circle. You start off, you're only a little bit off, but before you've gone too far, you get further off, and by the end of it, you're way off. Now, let me just put this in context. Let's take a person that is a preacher, for example. And this is a big danger. Do you know there's a big difference preaching to benefit everybody and preaching to make an impression? And the difference is very subtle. Very subtle. Amen? It's also a problem when you and I encounter success. When success in the world comes our way, the thing starts off very incrementally. And very subtly, you and I, we start doing things on the basis of what we want people to think about us. And you see, left to its own devices, that spirit ends up with you and I creating a persona that has got nothing to do with the real person. Amen? Nothing to do with the real person. You take the world of politics, a person like Stalin. The propaganda that he put out about how great Stalin was and how he was going to save Soviet Russia. In the minds of the people, Stalin became, because of the brainwashing, became almost like a god. Stalin was a lonely, silly little man. But he had created, Hitler the same, created this fiction about himself. Kim Jong-un in North Korea, same thing. By propagandizing the people, even have people from North Korea wanting to go to the world to tell everybody how great their leader is. Everybody's starving. What's happened? You see, created a big fiction about himself. Now that's dramatic cases. But you know, you and I can fall into the same trap. Have you ever come across a person, you're speaking to them, and they're talking, and everything they say is based on a story that involves themselves somehow, and in the story, guess who the hero is? You understand? Guess who the hero is? By some chance, by some miracle, in every one of their stories, there's one person who's the hero. What's happened? They haven't kept the relationship with themselves real. You see that? What did Paul the Apostle? Let no man think of himself more highly than he is. You get it? We've all got a function. Just do the function that God's called you and I to do. Amen? Without trying to create a fictitious personality, which we would like to be, or we'd want everybody to think we are, but is so far divorced from the actual person. You see? And we end up living a lie. Let's not let that happen. It's something we have to take care of every day. Instead of spending time and effort on how we appear to others, our image, so to speak, let's rather spend time and effort on who we really are. Amen. Spend that time and effort on developing who you and I within us really are. And let me say this, if you and I do that, the impression we give to the public, through God's grace, will take care of itself. Amen. Through God's grace, our public image will take care of itself. I talked about success. The same thing happens when people start to get launched on a path of great success. What is the big danger? Looking at everybody else and thinking, I must be something. I must really be something. It reminds me of the donkey taking the Lord into Jerusalem. Imagine that donkey thinking to himself, you know what? All these people worshipping me. I must be some kind of an ass. You really are an ass. You see, Paul understood something. The power in him was not his. It was from God. I'm an earthen vessel. That's why when he came to the churches, he didn't have to bother to try and impress them. You understand? With how eloquent he was. How high his preaching abilities were. His skill. He just came there and demonstrated the power of God. And some people said, oh, you speak too rough, you're too ugly, you're too bald, we don't want you, we'd rather go for somebody else. You understand? Human nature. But he did not succumb to that. He did not try and impress everybody. Didn't feel the need to wear a three-piece suit. and get upset when there's a bit of fluff on the lectern before we preach. All in the name, can I tell you, of excellence. Can I ask you something? Is that excellence in ministry? If you've made sure that the deacons have cleaned the lectern to pristine standards before you, Almighty One, get there, is that excellence of ministry? Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you get to that place? It starts off with what? The need to impress everybody with your ability to preach. Dear God, deliver us. Deliver me. Brothers and sisters, in our life, look at ourselves and keep it real. Lord, this is me, warts and all. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I don't have to be anything else because I am who you created me to be, and I can rest in that. Can you all say amen? We make it too complicated when you think God expects of us to do something far beyond what we actually are. Amen? Just relax in this fact that God loves us and we do day to day what we can with what we know. That's keeping it real. Can you all say amen? You're not called upon to save the world necessarily. Amen? But you are called, you and I are called to live our life day to day as the human being that we were created to be. And not just do that, rejoice in it, because it's a great creation. And it doesn't matter what you and I are called to do. Be it to sweep the street, clean the toilet, cook the food, serve tables, drive a car, drive a taxi, run a business, become a great engineer, a great musician, great engineers. We're inundated with engineers in this church. Dear God. Educators. But you understand it. Do what we have to do, but keep it real. This is who I am. This is what God's called me to do, and I rejoice in it. Amen? Keep it real. Brothers and sisters, don't try and impress everybody with how spiritual you are. Do you know what happens? You drive people away. This one lady, no names mentioned, another town, please, nobody, anybody knows. A lovely person. She loved God. But she hadn't learned this lesson. Amen? When we were in her presence, while we're having a normal conversation, she breaks off. I'm hearing God. Then she'll prophesy. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Do you and I need that? Now, please, there's a place for prophecy. You understand? Just to close off with this thought I'll leave with us, to help us in this whole business of keeping it real. There's a time to rise up with God. Do you know that? And to be intensely spiritual. There's a place for that. Amen? But the place is not when you and I are talking to other people and just being human. God's chariot, and this pattern is carried right through from Ezekiel right through to Revelation, the four dimensions of God. It's reflected in the four Gospels. I'm almost finished. Just bear with me. The one is God, the face of the ox. The other one is the face of a lion. The other one is the face of an eagle. And the fourth one is the face of a man. All right? Four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John speaks of ascending. Spiritual book, the eagle. Mark speaks of the ox doing work. The lion is the book of Matthew. Matthew speaks of the kingdom of God, the rulership of Christ, the king. But number four, and this is the gospel of Luke, Christ the man. You see? And you think of yourselves and ourselves in our lives. In a sense, there's four areas that we have to balance and operate in. You see? One of them is the eagle. There's a time, my brother and sister, to ascend with God. On your own. That's why the Bible speaks of the prayer closet. Don't pray out in public, you see. That's the time to intercede and pray to God. And God in secret will answer your prayers. That's the time to rise up in the Spirit, like Christ did when he went up the mountain. The Gospel of Mark. Read the Gospel of Mark, and he went, and he went, and he went. The man was like a machine. Work. Then there's the time to be a king. Right, to rule and reign. To say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do that and direct affairs in your life. To be a king over your own life first and then those around you as God gives you authority. Can you see that? The fourth area is Christ the man. Eagle, ox, king, man. Okay? The Gospel of Luke speaks of Christ the human. You see? Now, in your and my life, this is what I want to talk about. There is a place for work. Am I right? There's a place where, you know, I have to put our hands to the plow and get going with what we have to do. Amen? That's not the time to be happy, casual, and fool around, or to be super spiritual. It's a time to get the work done. Amen? Then there's a time to rule and reign in our circumstances, take control of our lives, rule over sin, the king. You and I are created to be kings and priests. You see, not be pushed around. But the most important part is to be a man. In other words, to relate to people. Soma sua, if I can put it that way. No airs and fancies. You see, when I'm relating to people, that's no time to be king over them. You drive people away. That's no time to be super spiritual. That's not time to be so busy with your work you haven't got time for them. Are you hearing me? I hope you're getting this. You see, we've got to keep it real, which also means keeping it in balance. Keeping it real is not being happy casual. You understand? All the time. Talk about presenting ourselves decently. Keeping it real doesn't mean that you and I walk around like scruffs. Keeping it real doesn't mean we have to walk around in a three-piece suit, trying to impress everybody that, you know, we're so important that we can't get out of our work clothes at any stage of our lives. You understand? The balance, but keeping it real. There's a time to ascend, yes. There's a time to rule and reign. There's a time to get down to work. There's time to be just a person. Just a person. And some people can't leave their work in the office. Have you noticed that? Trying to relate to people, they're telling them all about their work and they did this and that. Or ruling and reigning over them or trying to be spiritual with them. It doesn't work. Just be yourself. Keep it real. Just keep it real. Are you hearing me? Felt, you know, with my family this week, what was so important, just keep it real. Just be yourself. You and I will not reach anybody if we're not ourselves. Did you know that? You know why? Because whether people understand it or not, their spirit man picks up the truth. When you look at a Facebook picture, there's nobody on this earth who doesn't realize that person is trying to present something that is not real. Unless they dilly in their brain and think, oh my soul, everybody's living such a wonderful life except me. Amen? The problem. I hope you're grasping this. Brothers and sisters, you and I are charged to keep things real. Amen. Keep your relationship with God real. Keep your study of the Bible real. Make sure that it applies to you. The most important purpose of this Bible is to hear the voice of God. Did you know that? Keeping it real is when you approach the Bible to say, God, what do you want to say to me today? That's keeping it real. Not some fancy, wishy-washy doctrine about spooks and the second coming and the Antichrist and who it might be and all this stuff. Listen, those things are written for a purpose. But let me tell you something. You don't have to go into great detail about it. When it presents itself, if you know your Bible, you'll know it. Amen? It's a warning, just a temperature gauge. Are you hearing me? When you get into these deep, sort of devious doctrines, it's not real. Keep it real. The Bible's got to work for you and I. Amen? It only works if we keep it real. Keep our relation with God real. Keep our lives real. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that we'll take this to heart. Thank you. This is the key to life and life abundantly. Thank you that we are not called to be anything that we are not. But we are called to rejoice in who we are. Sinners saved by grace, making every effort to improve and to become more effective for you. And thank you that you help us along the way because you want us to live life and life more abundantly. And we give you praise in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.